Let's turn to Hebrews this morning and let's teach a little bit. It's kind of hard to get a chance to teach. On Sunday morning, sometimes folks come, they kind of expect a little teaching, but other than that, it's kind of hard to get a chance to teach. The Bible tells us in the Scriptures that my people perish. Could you imagine the people of God perishing? My people perish. God said, my people perish. And then when you read on down a little farther to see why that God's people perish, we find in the Scriptures it says, because of the lack of knowledge. You know what? I don't mean this wrong. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. That's what he said. I would not have you ignorant. Now then, people can be ignorant of the things of God. Did you know that? Can be ignorant. Paul said in his writing, I would not have you ignorant. Now, he was the apostle that was sent to the Gentile church. He was the Gentile apostle. And one of the great things that he said to the Gentile church was, I would not have you ignorant. I want to repeat that a time or two because I want that to sink in. Scientists say you have to tell an individual something seven times before it ever really registers up here in a lot of cases. So I want to say this again. The apostle that said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. He made the statement one time in his life to the people, he said, I would not. Now think, what if Paul was here today? What if he was talking today? You say, well, that couldn't possibly be. You might be surprised. I would think that if this last age started off with a revelation teacher, that somewhere down the line it would have to end with one. I would believe that. And Paul had the Spirit of Christ just like we have the Spirit of Christ. Did you know that the Protestant people, to show you how far they've drifted from... I want to show you something if you can see it. To show you how far our people have got from the divine ordination of what Jesus Christ intended for them, just to show it to you, the Lord started this Protestant age with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he started with. Paul said, I spent 3 years in the Arabian desert, and the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known unto me. He didn't say he spent 3 years, Brother Ernie, and God gave him his ministry. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known to me. And then John, the beloved disciple, who's also a revelation teacher, he said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave unto his servants that it should be shown unto them the things which shortly must come to pass. So God apparently wants us to know what's going to come to pass, Brother Al. Somebody said, well, I don't see no need for that. I don't see why we need to know what's going to come to pass. Well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible said for me to preach the word. Let's just take a minute here to confirm something before I start off teaching this morning. It said in the Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. I want you to notice that. The Bible said God gave it unto Jesus to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So there is a need for us knowing what's coming to pass. Somebody said, well, all I want is the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will show you things that's to come to pass. Did he say he would show you things that was to come? Is that right? The Holy Ghost will show you things that are to come. So see, we have a need of it. In the days of Daniel, Daniel began to fast. He began to pray. He began to study the scrolls of old. And he said he learned by the letter certain things through his study. I brought him out on the teachings of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And God said, Daniel, thou art a beloved man in the sight of God because you sought to understand what would befall your people in the last days. Now, what need is it for me to know what's going to come to pass? I'm going to tell you, this might not set too good. But if I know what's going to come to pass when all of this stuff that's going on in the world today in the ministry of every kind of prophecy, every kind of wind of doctrine, and the Bible said even doctrines of devils. If I know the will of God and what's to come to pass, when I see these things, I'll be prepared for them and I can help God's people. Paul said, we are not to live our lives in the lust of the flesh and walk after the ways of the Gentiles. We are bought with a price, and we're to give our bodies wholly, acceptable unto God as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. It's nothing more than reasonable for you to do that. Sometimes I preach, and the people say, you're preaching hard. And I preach, they ought to dress right, talk right, live right, act right, speak right. And they think that I've really restricted them because of these loose preachers that's running around that don't require nothing out of them. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I draw you down to the finest line of the Scriptures, I mean the very finest line, then when you get through, you've only done your reasonable service. If you give your body a living sacrifice, you've not went beyond the call of duty. You've only done your reasonable service then. So you better hope that I'll preach a whole lot harder than I'm preaching. I made mention last night when men like John the Baptist called the people a generation of vipers. When the God himself robed in the flesh of humanity, walked in, he didn't just walk in and take a whip, brother, beat you and pop the whip and say, get out of here, I don't like the way you're doing. But the Bible said he walked in and flipped the tables over. How would you like for your husband to come in the house and take one look at his daughter with the dresses up above her knees and one look at mama listening to rock and roll and flip the eating table over and flip the chairs over and reach back and grab his belt in his hand and say, I ain't going to have nothing like that in a year. Somebody say, my Lord. Yeah, that's what your Lord done. That's exactly right. My Lord. That's what he done. You think he just went in there and he caught the tables and he just slid the money off, you know? No, sir, the Bible said he flipped the tables over. He was pretty upset about the whole thing. Somebody said, well, he just done it without thinking, Brother Pike. No, he didn't. The Bible said he sat outside the temple, and while he was sitting out there, he was plaiting a whip, reading the Scriptures. He knowed what he was going to do. I wasn't no quick thing, Brother Gene. He plaited that whip. He knew what he was going to do, and he was every bit sanctified when he plaited it. He was every bit sanctified when he popped it. He knew them people were brute beasts, and he treated them like beasts. Drove them out with the rest of the cows and things that was in there. That's what you use as a whip on beasts. The Bible said the rod is for the fool's back. So then Paul, Peter, James, John, all these men spoke the same thing. Now, and he commanded us to speak the same thing. Now, folks, how is it if I'm to speak the same thing that James spoke? Have you ever read the life of John? People went around here and they said, Brother Pike don't believe in shouting. That's a lie. I've shouted and sang and danced with all of my might. I'm going to tell you something from my heart. I do believe in praising God in the dance. I believe in shouting with your voice to the Lord. Most people don't know what shouting is anyway. But I'm going to say this. Peter never done much dancing in the Spirit, according to the record. Paul never done much dancing in the Spirit. I never read where they done any dancing. Somebody said, well, on the day of Pentecost, Brother Pike, they really let go. There's no scripture where one man ever danced at Pentecost. Oh, but somebody said, that's what we base all our teachings on. Well, you better go back and get your teaching straight then. If that's going to be your foundation, you better find out what it is. You see how easy it is for the devil to blind you. Not only that, but in the speaking in tongues, a lot of people don't even understand that at Pentecost, when those people spoke in tongues, that the Holy Ghost interpreted those tongues, and every individual that heard those tongues said he does speak in the language wherein we were born. There was nothing that they didn't understand. It was absolutely interpreted by the Holy Ghost. They understood it. There was nothing confusing about it. Paul said, if all you people come together speaking in tongues, the world will say you crazy. And he said, who's going to be edified anyway? And said, how can the man sitting over here in the corner of the room that's unlearned say amen, seeing he don't even know what you're talking about? He said, I speak in tongues. And I can say with Paul, I speak in tongues. He said, but in the church, I'd rather speak with a tongue of understanding so somebody know what I'm talking about, so I can help them, lead them to the Lord, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue and somebody can't understand. He said, if you speak in tongues, he said, you're doing well. He said, so then just remain silent in the church. Speak in a low voice to yourself and to God. Worship the Lord. But if there's no interpreter, he said, keep quiet. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion, and Satan will take advantage. If everybody starts speaking in tongues, Paul said, then confusion comes in. You say, well, I don't understand that, Brother Pike. Well, let me say this. Go down to Mexico. Let Brother Gonzalez get up there and start preaching to them Mexicans, and you occupy the room of the unlearned and see how many times you say amen to what he's saying. Sister Nobby, you know what I'm talking about. As a while, you couldn't understand English too good. You occupied the room of the unlearned, didn't you? It was hard to say amen to what the preacher was preaching, seeing you didn't understand what he was saying. And when she'd go home, she'd begin to really get with Brother Gonzalez about it. Is that right? Yes, sir. She couldn't understand. All right. Then the natural things show us how to understand the spiritual. And I want to say this. Paul the Apostle was a revelator. Go way back to the days of Moses. Look way back there when he went up on the mountain and he got the revelation of his day. When he got the revelation of Christ, he gave it to the Jews, Brother Ernie. But over a period of years, they changed the Word of God. Brother Gene, they changed it so much and altered it so much that when that same Word of God that appeared on the mountain to Moses and revealed himself to Moses, when that same God Word came in the New Testament and robed himself in the veil of humanity and stood before the teachers that said, we are of the teachings of Moses, they didn't even recognize him. Now, what did the Lord do? They drove him out of the synagogues. Now, haven't they done the very same thing today? They have changed the Word of God so much that's been given to them that when a man comes preaching the real, true Word of God, what do? They drive him out of the synagogues. They won't even have the Word of God. What will they do? They'll persecute him. And they'll crucify the Word of the Lord and the man that teaches the Word of God, Brother Frank. They'll do it. Now, if God in the beginning, in the days of Moses, gave a revelation of that day and let it die out that in the last days he might take the people by surprise, isn't it reasonable to think he who is the same yesterday, today, and forever that never changes would give Paul the Revelator, a revelation for this last age, and let it die out in the Catholic age and say, I will restore that the cankerworm has eaten and the caterpillar and the years the locust consume. I will restore it, saith the Lord. And in the very last days, when they'd gotten so far from the revelation that was given Paul for the Protestant church, that he would send Paul the Apostle right back in the end time to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. You think that would be anyways reasonable? The same God that stood on the mountain, yonder, stood on the mountain, back there when it blazed as a blaze of fire, and he said, don't come near this mountain if so much as a rabbit comes near it. He said, I'll kill it. Paul the Apostle received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He received it. It died out. But Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. He went over in another dimension, and that dimension was the dimension that we're living in this very day. Paul went into it and said, I saw the things that I could not utter. Not only did he go into it, but he said, I'm as one born out of season. There's a season somewhere that'll receive this message, Paul said, because in this season, it's over the people's head, and I'm as one that's born out of season trying to teach it to them. Not only that, Brother Taylor, but God said to John the Revelator, he said, you eat the whole book. He said, because you're going to prophesy before many people, and many kindreds, and many nations. I believe this with all of my heart. The same Spirit of Jesus Christ that was in Moses, was in Elijah, was in Elisha. The same Spirit was in John the Baptist. The same Spirit. You say, how do you know it was in John the Baptist? Because when they came to Jesus, they said, Lord, you said Elias must come first. You told us that Elijah would first come. And he looked at John the Baptist and said, if you can receive it. Now, why did he say, if you can receive it? Now, I'm going to say something to you people. There's a lot of things you can't receive. Jesus said, I have a lot of things to say to you, many things. But he said, you can't receive them. He said, because you're dull of hearing, having eyes, eyes of understanding, you see not what the Spirit doeth. Jesus said, I see always what God my Father, who is the Spirit, doeth. And I do always the things I see. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths. Listen, folks, I don't mean this in a mocking way. God forbid, and don't take it like that. But our church world has got into a rock and roll party. It has. They feel like if they get up and can get you thrilled all over and feel a thrill go through your body and get you to dancing and shouting, that they're having a wonderful service. I'm going to say this, there's a time for all things. But when you meet the devil and heartaches and sorrows come to your home, brother, you can shout all you want to, but the devil ain't going nowhere. When you get through shouting, you're going to be just as sorrowful as you was. When they come across the Red Sea, what happened? They shouted. But when the serpents begin to bite them, they didn't shout no more. You read where they ever shouted anymore. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we won the victory, when we won the victory, and we crossed the bloodline of Christ, and we knew the devil was left behind, we had a shouting good time, and it was a time for a shout. And God let a shout sweep over the world, and it was anointed of God. Because we'd won the victory, we'd crossed over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh had got drowned. We'd left Egypt behind. It was a time for a shout. Because we were children. And Paul said when we were children, we were supposed to act like children. When I was a child, he said, I acted like a child. But now we've been out of Egypt a long time. A long time. And we're heading for Canaan. And the Bible said the land's full of giants. And how many of you know that demons are fallen angels and angels are giants unto man because man's made a little lower than angels? We're wrestling against principalities and powers and demon spirits. Our spirit is not as strong as an angelic spirit. If you think it is, you start wrestling with it. We had an episode not too long ago that you're familiar with where I warned an individual over and over about an evil spirit. And I said, don't take it light. I said, because it's a devil. And you're a lot littler than he is. But he took it a little bit light. He'd shouted, but that didn't stop the devil. The one he got mixed up with had shouted too, but that didn't stop the devil, did it? No, sir. I'm not criticizing shouting. That's good. But you know what them people needed? What did they need? Somebody tell me. They needed the Word of God. That's exactly what they needed. Who can deny that they needed the Word of God? The Bible said He sent His Word and cast out the unclean spirits. Is that right? If they had been receiving the Word of God like they ought to have been receiving, what would He have done? Cast out the unclean spirits. Sure it would have. You say, do you believe that? Sure. There's a person in my congregation this morning that had an unclean spirit. Is that right? Yes, sir. A young lady. She sure did. She come in with a devil of lust on her. I didn't say anything to her because I didn't want to discourage her. I want to encourage her and lead her on. But I'm going to tell you, it's there. I'm going to tell you something else. If you ain't careful, you're going to fall into the same snare the young lady fell into down yonder, too. Oh, you say, I'm above that. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, sir. No, sir. There ain't a one of us in here above that. That's right. You believe that? Yes, sir. And there's a woman here, a married woman, that's got a devil of lust that bothers her. And I'll tell you another thing, too. And you hear me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd done gone down the drain a long time ago. See? You understand what I mean? Why do we seek the Lord so we know things that are to come? So we can help the people. All right, now then. I want you to understand something this morning, folks. There was a time to shout and enjoy our praises before the Lord. But now the serpents have begun to bite the people. Serpents of fornication. Serpents of covetousness. I saw a brother last night, and you hear me, brother. I saw a brother last night, and the brother was pulled off into a lustful thing. He got mixed up in the wrong thing. I saw him last night. He's one of the best brothers among us. I believe it was last night. I saw it. And it tried to get me mixed up into the same affair. How many of you know that a devil spirit will try to get a hold of you too? Jezebel took right in off after Elijah, didn't she? What did the woman do to Joseph? She pulled at him all the time. What does an evil spirit do? Pull. What did the man tell me? Are you hearing me this morning? What did the man tell me that got overthrown here recently? Said that thing pulled at him all the time. Said he couldn't get away from it. So I'd go to bed at night. And I preached to him about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How these things make it feel real sweet when it comes on your flesh. But it's a doctrine of a devil. Is that right? Now, I want you to understand something this morning, folks. I'm trying to help you. If you see the wolf coming, you don't sound the trumpet. The Bible said the blood will be on your hand. Evil spirits are wolves. They come in and out among the sheep, ravening wolves. And it's up to the shepherd to spot them and drive them away. Sheep don't know it. He don't notice them. Now, what about the young lady? Now, I want you to hear this. I know the man got the blame. And I'm going to tell you, the man's to blame. He's to blame. But what about the young lady that got mixed up in the affair? There was a devil that had a hold of the young lady. Somebody said, oh no, she was clean as she could be. Let me tell you something, folks. I walked out of the building over here one morning and the young lady stood out yonder and I picked up a devil on the young lady. I went right down to a certain place and got up. And before the congregation, when the young lady was present, and before them that knew her and understood her and controlled her, I told them as near as I could without just coming right out. You understand what I'm trying to say? So you just remember this. It takes two people to do wrong, that kind of wrong. You remember that. I'm not justifying either one of them. Sin is sin. Neither am I throwing stones at any of them. So then, we can't shout when serpents are biting us. No, sir. You let a snake latch onto you out here in the field, and you know that within a few seconds you're going to be dead, and see how much joy you got in your heart to shout with. No, sir, you can't do it. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can live a victorious, overcoming life. And when there comes time to shout, we can do like we did when Joshua got them all together and they got them in a union. When they shouted, and the shout meant something, when they shouted together, were shouting over the word of the Lord. Moses said, these people are not shouting over the word of God. They're shouting over a golden calf. And I preached it again and again. They're shouting over the offerings, the big tents, the tractors and the trailers. They bring the tractors and the trailers under the big tent and say, let's toot the horn for Jesus. You say, well, ain't that all right? I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think it's all right to bring a tractor and trailer under the tent and toot the horn for Jesus. I wouldn't think that would be the proper thing to do. When he said reverence the sanctuary, and he wouldn't even allow them to even so much as take a vessel through the sanctuary, turned over the money changers' tables, I wouldn't think it would be all right, Brother Ernie. So then what is the shout over? The gold and the silver. And the early apostolic church had how much gold and silver? Peter was the leader. He said, I don't have none. Said, he that God sends will command his captains without any charge. Peter was sent to command the captains of God. That's why he didn't have no money. He didn't make no charge. All right, now, I said these things because I wanted to get over to a thought this morning. And I want you to listen to me. Now, I know it might be taking a little time. And if you're, I'm not going to say this mean and haughty, but I'm saying it. I've been saying it a number of times, and I'm going to start saying it more often, more than likely, more often. If you want to stay with us and bear with us and listen, I want you to listen. If you are interested in the Word of the Lord, if you are hungry and thirsting after it, I want you to listen. If not, you can go outside. If you like to go, you can go outside. The young lady with the evil spirit has no interest. She lost her interest. She has no interest, and she can go outside too. Later on, when the evil spirit gets her, then we'll come and pray for her. Oh, it won't never. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. It's there just as sure as I stand behind this pulpit. And don't tell me it won't get you. Yes, it will. Young lady, it's on your trail. It's done got you more than you think right now. But if you don't have any interest, you can go. But them that want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that are willing to stay a few minutes, not as was with Paul all night long, as I've stayed so many times with people that wanted to stay all night long, but not as it was with him that stayed all night long, but just for a little while. I'd say now there's at least two or three spirits that would be better if they would excuse themselves and leave the sanctuary. Among the people, several of you right now, out of this little small congregation, at least several of you, because you're not reverencing the sanctuary of the Lord with your spirit, and you're going to bring the wrath of the Lord upon you. And you'd be better off to excuse yourself and go on out and go somewhere where they're dancing and shouting and hollering and screaming, and where they're beating the timbrels and playing the organ, because that's your life, that's what you believe in, that's what you want. And you'd be better off to go on out there and get it. Because this journey that we're on, we don't have that. Not only do we not have it, but we're not going to get it. We don't want it. We want God. And God is the Word. And God alone can save us. And this is what we want. And we are interested in enduring sound doctrine. But he said in the last days, many of you would have no endurance. I feel your spirits, you get restless. Your minds wander here and there. Brother Frank said the other night, you sit on the bench and you go fishing over in California or Florida somewhere. God is a spirit and he's watching your thoughts. And he's watching your spirit this morning. And he that hath no control over his spirit, the Bible refers to him as that city with the broken down wall that Satan can come in on any time. The man that don't have a wall of resistance, Satan can come in any time. You have no endurance to stay with sound doctrine. If something feels good to your flesh or entices you or makes you feel good, or if you can be up before the crowd and get people's attention, you've got a real genuine interest. I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to sting, and it needs to sting. This is what the Bible calls will worship. Paul and Jesus spoke of it. He said there's some people who are will worshipers, and said these things have a shoe of wisdom. It looks like it's all right. But you will yourself to put on your long dresses and your long sleeves because you're going to be up in front of the people. You will yourself to do that, not by the unction of the Holy Spirit. You will yourself to go to church because you figure they're going to let you up and you're going to be the one that's going to be standing up there before the people. You will yourself to fast because, as the Bible said, you fast for envy and strife and debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. Because you figure you can be the big wheel or the big deal. You can have a bigger tent, bigger tractor, more television program, more radio programs. The preeminence among the brethren. You will yourself to go to the mission fields that you might have the preeminence among the brethren. You will yourself to do that. You will yourself to give in the offerings. That's self-will. And that will come to naught, and somewhere down the road, you're going to die and be lost without the Lord Jesus Christ because you have will worship. Some of you, I have actually caught this, and I know this is absolutely a stink in the nostrils of the Lord Jesus, but my men and women alike right here that come to the church, I've caught you fasting to lose weight because of your body, of wanting your body to look like a young girl's body, and men wanting to look like a 16-year-old schoolboy. May God have mercy on your soul. Now, don't you think, how many thinks that's a devil? Let me see your hand. The Bible said devil, he called him Satan. Devil, thou savorest the thing that be of the body, the things that be of the flesh. You fast for the flesh, say. Is that right? Devil, you savor the things that be of the world. You fast so you can make another dollar. Get another dollar. Get up in the world, you know, have a lot of money, a lot of prestige. You savor the things that be of the flesh. You do all of these things so it can put you out there in the flesh. That's right. That made the young lady perk up. She realizes this is going home to her. It's exactly right. You're in the flesh. You're in the flesh and you need to be born again. You need to get straightened out with God because you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. You need to set under some good sound doctrine. You need to set under the Word of God and get your mind off of you. Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh. That's why Jesus rebuked Peter. That's the same Jesus that rebuked you this morning. Satan, thou savorest the things that be of the flesh. Now, you know what it was? Peter didn't want the cross. Jesus said, Peter, I gotta take up my cross. Nay, Lord, be it far from me. Won't have nothing like that around here. Now, that was the devil. The Bible said that was the devil. No, we ain't going to have no cross now. If it has to sit on the bench a few minutes and endure some good, hard, sound doctrine, no, we can't stand that. That's too rough on the flesh. We're not interested in that, you know. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Some of you are spiritually ignorant. Now, I didn't mean to get to preaching to you. I want to talk to you. If I don't watch out, every time I get stirred up, devil, stir me up now. Feel like Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I feel like dipping my sword in the blood then. When the evil spirits come. A lot of times God let devils come to stir us up. Well, we'll go ahead and preach. People, listen folks. By the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. Somebody said, I'm a preacher. Praise God. I'm a rabbi. I love the salutations from the young ladies and the young men in the marketplaces. I like that. I like for them to say, here goes Reverend so-and-so. That's kind of hard, but you have to swallow it down. That's exactly right. That's why you want to be in the ministry, not to win lost souls. You ain't no more interested in winning lost souls than nothing. You're interested in you. That's right. You might as well swallow it down. I know it hurts your flesh. I know it grinds you up. But the Bible said if this falls on you, it's going to grind you to powder. I know it's grievous to you. And thank God that it is grievous to you. I praise God for the word that makes you grievous. The Bible says that chastisement is grievous. It's grievous. We get rid of all this shouting and jumping and hollering and going on and get somebody grieved. The Bible said in the house of mourning, the heart's made better. You need to do some mourning. You need the word of the Lord. Somebody said, don't you believe in teaching prosperity? I sure do. Don't you believe in shouting? I sure do. You believe in speaking in tongues? I sure do. You believe in preaching the love of God? I sure do. But I also preach the judgments of the Lord. I also preach that Paul said he could be contented with or without. In any state he found himself, I'm both instructed to abound and to be abased. To have or not to have. To be over here, to be over yonder. I believe in versatility. Our Lord was a man that could cry. He was a man that could pop a whip. He was a man that could look at a man and say, get behind me, Satan. He was a man that could say, you're of your father, the devil, and at the same time turn around and say, oh, thou beloved of the Lord. He wasn't one-sided. Now, the Antichrist of today, the Bible said it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not possible to deceive the very elect. It is not possible. It is not possible because nothing can separate them from the love of God. It is not possible. They cannot be deceived. If it were possible, it would deceive them. Why doesn't the big tents and the big tractors and all these other things, why doesn't it deceive the people that are here? Why doesn't it do it? Because it's not possible if you're the elect of Christ. It's not possible. The Antichrist, which is Satan, savoureth the things that be of the flesh. How can you recognize him? He always needs an offering. You can say amen or oh me. Antichrist always needs an offering. That's right. Why? I don't mean this mocking. He's got to buy him everything from a submarine to a jet. He needs an offering. Sure he has. Somebody said, are you mocking? Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal. He mocked them. He mocked them. Well, you call it what you will. But he savors the things that be of the flesh because he's got to have a new suit. He's got to have a new pair of slippers. He's got to have a new car. All these things are good. If you've got them, I thank God for them. The Bible said, seek the kingdom, he'll add all this unto you. Some people get them because they're added unto them. Some people go out and take the liberty of making the addition themselves. But he always wants something of the flesh. He says, now I'll get Johnny and Jack on the organ. Now you can call it mocking if you want to. I'll get Sister Lou over here, and she's got her dress about 3 inches up above her knees, and they're getting farther all the time. And it's so tight that when she walks, there's little devils and demons of lust just following her everywhere she goes. And she'll click her heels a few times, and she'll make the oil and go, rum, rum. You know how they do it, rum, rum. And she'll pitch it up there, and she'll stir your ego on the inside, and she'll stir your nerve system up, and you'll be like a bunch of jumping jacks. And then I'll get the money that you got for the things that I want in the flesh. That's Antichrist. Well, you sure do make it sound bad, Brother Pike. I'll tell you what, when you pull the blanket off of it and you look at it like the Lord looked at it, when he said all of the tables of God are full of vomit, I didn't call it vomit, I'm just telling you what the Word said. It said all of it's vomit in the sight of God, the tables of God, all of the tables of God. Somebody said, well, that didn't mean Brother so-and-so that fasted so-and-so. It said all of the tables of God are full of vomit. That's right. I even found some here this morning. That's right. You say, what is vomit, Brother Pye? The Bible said, because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Is that right? Didn't he say the last church age was the Laodicean church age with lukewarm? Is that right? Full of vomit? All right, now, You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the early apostolic church said, gold and silver have I none. Gold and silver have I none. Gold and silver have I none. That means one thing, that this last church age is going to be a gleaning church age of people that love the word of the Lord. The love of God, he said, is to keep the commandments of the Lord. What are the commandments of the Lord? That you do not come into the sanctuary of the Lord with evil spirits. Enter into my courts with thanksgiving, he said. Reverence my sanctuary. Come into my presence with praise. You say, well, where is the presence of God? He said, if two or three are there, I'm there. If they come in my name. Come there with praise. Your heart ought to be, instead of wandering and thinking, and I wonder if this is right, and I wonder if the preacher said that right, and I wonder if he's in the Spirit, and I wonder if he's out of the Spirit, and I wonder if God wants us to know this, and I wonder if that's profitable, and I wonder if he's going to hold too long, and them kind of things. You know what you need to do, folks? Down in your heart, you need to fear, as the Bible said, and reverence the sanctuary of the Lord. And say down there, Lord, if it stay all night, God, give me grace to bear it and make this old body that I've petted and pampered, shut up and go to the cross. Lord, get my mind off of me, because you said in the last days they'd be lovers of self. Want their hair pretty. Want their bodies pretty. Want everything for them. Lovers of self more than lovers of God. Is that Bible? Get my mind off of me, Lord. Get it on Jesus. Worrying about your feelings, your heartaches, your problems. The Bible said, look on the things of another. Jesus had problems, but he worried about our problem, Brother Ernie. He bore his brother's burdens. Now, this is kind of getting down on the avenue where you live. That's the reason I love to teach. I ain't just talk plain to you. Paul said great plainness of speech. And sometimes he said we're rude in speech. Sound a little rude, but we're not in knowledge, he said. We don't always say it. Now then, I want to say this. As long as we are heady. How many of you know what heady means? Heady means you do your own thinking. Heady, educated, you know. Somebody said, well, I never did get, but I went to the third grade. I'll tell you, some of you in worse shape that went to the third grade than Brother Taylor and some of the others that had 6 years of college. Paul had a lot of learning. He counted all his dung, but some of them in third and fourth grade, they're so puffed up by what they think they know until a man that really knows something realizes it ain't nothing to it. He's ready to throw it out in the garbage can. A man with 6 years of college will follow and listen, but somebody with a third or fourth grade education, they got to figure it out. They figured, I don't know what I'm talking about. Isn't that something? Boy, that's a rebuke to you. If God ever give you a rebuke, that's a rebuke. Sure, a man could be a doctor, a lawyer, anything else. Now, they would be heady, educated, do their own thinking, figure it out for themselves. The Bible said they wouldn't accept the preachers that God sent. They'd heap to themselves their own preachers because their ears were itchy. They want somebody to scratch your ears. How many of you know what itchy ears is? You like for somebody to tickle your ears, scratch your ears, like a little baby. You know, tickle his ears. Said they'd heap to themselves teachers. They'd find their own teachers. Wouldn't even do a sound doctor. You couldn't keep them long enough to preach sermon to them. Said there'd be a famine for the hearing of the word of God. They wouldn't have no faith because they wouldn't hear the word of God. They'd rather shout, rather dance. The Bible said when you come to the house of God, you'd be more ready to hear. Faith come by hearing than give the sacrifice of fools. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you really believe that's turned into a rock and roll party? I absolutely believe it because the Holy Spirit shows it. There was a time when those people that were shouting under the tents was anointed of God. There was a time when it was the hand of God and they was not looking for an offering when God was moving. To bring the people out of the corrupt denominations of the world that he might bring them together under a ministry that would teach them the word of the Lord. But now that thing is gone and they're just in a rat race, as Brother Branham said one time, of who can have the biggest tent and who can fast the longest and who can do all of these other things A rat race, that's what it amounts to. They've gotten in a rat race of trying to see who can have the biggest this and the biggest that and who'll say the most pretty things about, you know, them, if they can get the most praises of men. And the Lord has left them along with the denominational powers to die in the wilderness. Now, somebody said, praise God, they'll never die in no denomination. They've come out of them. Yeah, they did, but you know what they did? They made them one of their own. Every one of them went under a charter. Every one of them built their charter up, and I know that was all right at the time for that. They got their charter. You say, well, did you know that's just exactly what the Assemblies of God got? They got them a charter. They started from a few people in the evangelistic crusade, and now they're the Assemblies of God. It's identically the same thing. God put them back in the wilderness that they might die in the wilderness. But he's bringing their children out. Bringing their children out. Now, they would be heady. They would be high-minded. They would be lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. You know, people really love pleasure in the day we're living. They love the picnic. They love the ride. They love to put in the gasoline, just burn it up in the lust of the flesh. They are lovers of pleasure. They love to laugh. They love to joke. Like Brother Ernie said, they call him Old Man Moe. Used to call him Old Man Moe because he was solemn, wouldn't laugh at their filthy jokes. I tell you what, if you're Old Man Moe, I must be his second cousin or his first cousin or his brother or something. But I feel the same way about it you do. Now, lovers of pleasure, lovers of their self more than lovers of God. Now, you say, now, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. I'm not going to be a lover of myself more than I'm a lover of God. I want to tell you something, folks. I've got people in this congregation that loves themselves more than they love the God Word. God is the Word. God is the Word. They'll make no sacrifice to conform to the image of the Word. No, sir. They won't deny their flesh. They won't deny their feelings. They won't deny their desires. They won't fall on this stone and be broken all to pieces and be humble and submissive and submit themselves one unto another. And especially unto the preachers, Paul said, submit yourselves, because they watch over your soul to present you to God without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. They watch for your soul. They can see the spirits. They're watching for the danger of your soul. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wanders through dry places. It seeks rest, and when it can't find it, it goes back where it come from. Somebody said, I prayed through. I don't doubt that. The Bible said the temple was sanctified. It was swept and garnished. But a lot of you let the same devil come back in and seven more devils with it, and the last state of you is a whole lot worse than the first was. Some of you people actually believe that you've got the Holy Ghost when you don't have the Holy Ghost. You believe it. Somebody said, well, if you believe you got it, you got it. No, sir. The Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. You believe that you have the Word nature, which is the Holy Ghost, partakers of His divine nature. He was the Word nature. That's what the Holy Ghost is, the Spirit of truth. You believe that you got the Word nature when your nature does everything practically that's contrary to the Word. How can you have the Word nature? You dip, you chew, you spit, you puff, you sputter, you blow up. You do everything contrary to the will of God and the word of the Lord. And you tell me that you're praying, Lord, thy word be done in my heart, not my will but thine? No, sir. Jesus said in the volume of the book, I do thy will. This is his will. Said, I've not been born of man, not of family relation was I born, not of the inspiration of man, but of God, the will of the new birth. Born again. Everything that's not born to the Word is a byproduct. It's going to pass away. But this is, if you're born to the Spirit, then you're the original creation, because the Word was what originally created. Anything that was not Word spoken or Word born is a byproduct. How many of you know that? That's why Eve was called a byproduct. That's why they call a woman a byproduct. The woman was not in the original creation as far as the types and shadows. She was not spoken into existence by the Word. That's why the devil gives her such a hard time. She was taken from the rib of man. The only way she got into the original creation. Isn't that a shame that a man would soul up like that? The only way that she got into the original creation was because the man was an original creation. And she was taken from the man. But the man was Word spoken, created by the Word. So then anything in this day, that's why the Bible said the only way for the woman to be saved is obey her husband. Somebody said, now what if I'm single? He said, I'll be a husband to you. Obey the Word. Obey the Word. If you are not Word born, you're a byproduct. You might have been born out of a shout. You might have been horned out of a holler. You might have been born out of a hoop. You might have been born out of a run. You might have been born out of some discipline or some doctrine of the devil. Jesus said one time, you're of your father, the devil. Said you're born to the devil. Born to the spirit of Satan. Is that Bible? Is that Bible? Sure, he said, you're of your father, the devil. So that's why you do his lust. Said he was a liar and abode not in the Word. From the beginning, he never was in the Word, Jesus said. Jesus said, even you go back yonder to the garden, you find he wouldn't stay with the Word. Is that Bible? Jesus said, my words are truth. Said he abode not in the truth. The truth is the Word. Said even from the garden, he never did walk in the Word. Never did. He was a liar from the beginning. He took something contrary to the Word. If you love me, you keep my commandments, Jesus said. My commandments are not grievous. If you're grieved, it's because you're going contrary to them. Now, let's say this. I'm going to find a place to close in just a few minutes. I had something I want to talk up to it and then read a little scripture and bring out something I believe would be real valuable to us, but I can't do it. I ain't going to have the time to do that. Don't look like it. But anyway, I want you to notice this scripture right here. I want you to listen real close to it for just a few minutes. Now look, listen real close now. For if we, that means you and me, for if we sin willfully, it's 10th chapter of Hebrews, 26th verse, if you, Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you. He said it in one place. He's saying, if you sin willingly, he said, I would not have you ignorant. But he said, some people are willingly or willfully ignorant. They won't try to learn anymore. They won't try to understand anymore because they know that more will be required of them. And they're in real bad shape because that is willful sin, willful ignorance. They are not willing to submit themselves to the Word of Christ. Listen at it. For if we sin willfully, 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 I want you to get that word willfully because I want to say something about it. After that we have received the Word, which it says, it calls it the knowledge of the truth. After that we have received the knowledge of the Word. Now, you see why the Lord never would give the true ministry until the end time, the real genuine apostolic fullness of it, because people have been a bunch of babies. And if God had to give us the knowledge of the truth and then we'd willfully went back over that thing after we'd grown up into a little maturity, we'd have never got forgiveness. We'd have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and been lost forever. That's right. Did you know that willful sin is a transgression against the Holy Ghost? And as long as you willfully sin, there is no forgiveness for it? There is no forgiveness for it. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That means that the blood of Jesus does not atone for a willful sin. You can't find sacrifice for that kind of sin. You know why? Because Paul said it would be needful for the Lord to come into the world and die again, and you will crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame, because one time he died for sin. One time. And I want to tell you something, friend. He'll never die for it again. Somebody said, well, I sinned and the Lord forgive me. No, you didn't. Somebody said, well, I know I sinned. Somebody said, I went out from God. The Bible said, because you never was of us. That's why you went out from us, that it might be made manifest you was never of us. The Bible said, he's born of God, don't commit sin. No, sir. Somebody said, well, I sinned and God forgive me. No, you didn't. You might have sinned. You might have sinned. I don't say you didn't sin, but you just missed the boat, that's all. You missed the ship. Yes, sir. Somebody said, well, you don't believe in backsliding. The Bible said, I'll heal you backsliding. In the Old Testament, he said he'd heal it. That's what he'd done at Calvary. He healed the backsliding. How did he do it? The Bible said he perfected him forever. No, sir, said he that's born of God cannot commit sin. The seed, which is the Word, remaineth in him. He walks with the Word, and the Word don't let him sin. So then, if you willfully sin, he said there's no sacrifice for that. God put away sin. That was the end of it. He'll never come back. And for you to get forgiveness for a willful sin, there has to be another crucifixion. Did you know that? Did you know that if you could sin one time, if one time you went out there and you willfully sinned against God, there'd have to be another crucifixion before you could be saved? Yes, sir, that's the truth before God. That's why Hebrews speaks like it does here in the 10th chapter. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, what does remain, folks? Listen what he said. But a certain, he didn't say it was uncertain or maybe it would happen, or maybe you'd have a chance, or maybe after a while you'd have as good a chance as another fella. He said, but you be certain of this one thing, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. When you willfully sin, he said, God will pour out his judgment on you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, why do you preach judgment? Because the Bible said, I'll save my people by judgment. Why did Paul preach judgment? Why am I reading where Paul preached to the people and preached judgment? Why did he preach judgment? Why do you preach judgment, Brother Pike? Because God said, preach the Word, and that's what the Word says. I'd be a liar if I preach anything else. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. This is why our people are so loose and running all over the world right now. Why is it the people don't obey the law out there? Because the law's got corrupt and they're not really enforcing the law. When they really enforced the law, didn't they lay down their guns and quit? Yes, sir. You go way back yonder in the days of Doc Holliday. Go back. I've been out in the West. I've read some of the life stories. And real genuine stories of what took place. I've seen the places. I've been by some of the places by the OK Corral where they had that big battle out there. When those men strapped a gun on them to enforce the law, people took a bow. Huh? Somebody said, I wouldn't. Oh, yes, you would. You go out there and look at Boot Hill and you'd find out that you'd take a bow. Brother, when Doc Holliday strapped his gun on, you took a bow to it. If you didn't take a bow to it, they put you in the cemetery. Yes, sir, you bowed one way or the other. You say, well, what has that got to do with us? Because they were a symbol of the true ministry of Jesus Christ. They were the ones, according to Revelation, that settled the frontiers of old, and they are the ones, according to Revelation, that was a type and a shadow of the true ministers of God. And let me tell you something. When men like Paul the Apostle walked the earth and preached the gospel, and when a man came before him and he tried to pervert the gospel, he didn't do like I've done today with some of them. I go out here and fast and pray. I try to talk to him and reason with him. He didn't do that. No, sir, he turned around and he said, oh, thou child of the devil, full of all subtlety, how long will you not cease to try to pervert the ways of God? The judgment of the Lord be upon thee, and I should be blind for a season. That's what Peter done. Peter looked at Ananias and Sapphira and said, "Why you want to play around in the church like you do? You come here playing around the church like you do?" Said, "The same one it took your husband out will take you out to." Said they wound them up and took them out. Then what come on the church? Great fear. You understand what I mean? If this had been taught in the churches, the laws of God had been enforced according to the word of grace and understanding to allow for those that stumbled by love and by grace and to stone them to death that willfully sinned, today we wouldn't have the loose ends in the church like we got. Right? The Bible said not to suffer a witch to live. And the Bible said them things happen for our example. And he said if you rebel, you're a witch. Sure, it said you're a witch. What should we do? Stone them to death. That's what the Bible said to do. Every one of them say, "She's a witch. She's a witch. She's a witch. She's a witch. She won't live right. Got a whorish spirit." Sure. Sure. The Bible said if a man be a fornicator, don't even so much as eat with him. Is that Bible? Don't even so much as eat with him. So it's a shame to even speak of those things done secret. I'm going to close here in a few minutes. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. And do you believe God's got a fiery indignation? You believe he can be a fiery, indignant judge when it comes to sin? Listen at it. And fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary which is the witch. Now, if we had to preach the gospel, but that he is a God of fiery indignation and fury and judgment to them that mock him and them that won't obey his word, and that he said, "Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." If we'd have preached the gospel like that, there'd have been a lot of people that's been killed in car wrecks that wouldn't have been killed. God tore them into pieces because they forgot God. I heard Bobby Woodruff say that he went and picked them up in pieces, and I took a basket and went around where a plane had crashed and picked them up a piece at a time and put them in the basket. "Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." Like the young man I heard up the other day. I suppose it's true, I don't know. But if it did, it must have tore him into pieces. I warned him, and he was a young man. A young man. I warned him, but he hardened his heart, he stiffens his neck. And suddenly, according to the report, he was destroyed, and there wasn't no remedy for it. That spirit hit him. I told him about getting upset with his wife and her getting upset with him. But here he flies up, he jumps in the car, takes off down the road at about, they said about 100 miles an hour and runs into a truck and it must have tore him into pieces. That devil that was so innocent as far as the people was concerned one day got the best and yonder it went. I heard this one time and I want to relate it. I want to relate it to you. There was a man overseas. He was putting on a performance. He was a man that performed for people. And he had a great big boa constrictor that he used. He took the thing when it was small. He used it. He would wrap it around his legs. And the thing would wrap around him. And when it wrapped around him, he'd put on a show with it. And inside of the call, his legs would be inside the call. And he'd take his hands and pop it, and the boa constrictor would loose and crawl off. And it was a great act as the boa constrictor got big all around his body. And in the loose call, he'd just pop his hands and the snake would loose and crawl off. One day he was putting on an act, and the snake had got so big that it wrapped him up. You couldn't see the man anymore. It would wrap him up, and wasn't nothing left but the head. And inside the loose call, before a great audience, he popped his hand, but the snake didn't loose. He was one time the snake's master, but he wasn't anymore. And the snake began to constrict and crushed him to death within the coil. And that's just exactly the way a devil does. You might master him to start with. You might have a little temper tantrum. It might be a little feeling to start with, and you kick him off. But after a while, he's going to do you like some has done in this very area right here where we're living. They're going to get the best of you. You watch what I'm telling you now. And someday, you're not going to be his master. It says, but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And you look, listen to this now. He that despised Moses' law. Now, you say, Brother Pike, I never would despise the Word of God. The Bible said, if you do despite unto the Holy Spirit, if you do despite unto the Holy Spirit, he said, here's what he said at the day of Pentecost, said, behold, you despisers. Somebody said, well, that was back in the days of Moses. Oh, no, I'm talking about Pentecost now, the new covenant. He said, behold, you despisers. Said in the last days it'd be despisers of him that do good. Is that right? Because it hurts their flesh. Sure, they despise him. They find fault with him. It looked like to knock their brains out with a baseball bat. Sure they would. They despise him. That's why they cut those men's head off back there. They despised him. That's why they stoned Stephen's to death. They despised him. Said, behold, you despisers. Behold. And wonder, he said. How many people sit and wonder? He said, you despise and you wonder. Sure, you wonder. He said, behold, you despisers and wonder. Wonder about it. Wonder. Said, for I'll work a work in your day ye shall in no wise believe, though a man preach it or declare it unto you. You ain't going to believe it. Be a famine for the hearing of the word. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. I want you to listen to this, folks. If you don't have enough discernment and enough understanding to see that there's been a lot of men running around that's called themselves preachers, that's absolutely not preachers. If you can't see it by this, you must be blind. And the Bible says it must be lost to you, and if it's lost to you, then you're lost. If it's lost to you, then you're lost. For it's hid to them that are lost. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Now, don't you listen to this. Under two or three witnesses, he died without mercy. God wouldn't even show him no mercy. How many of you remember the case where that man took the golden wedge and finally when Joshua got it, according to the law of Moses, he took him, took the wife, took the children and all of them out there and stoned them to death, wouldn't even let the children live. He told them when they went to war, said he'd kill the babies. Is that Bible? He said God did not show them any mercy. The Bible said God is merciful. You say, well, I know God's merciful. The Bible said he did not show them any mercy. I want you to get this morning. You're running around hollering, God's merciful. God will understand. God is not understanding to people who practice willful sin, and God will not show you any mercy. You'll be destroyed without remedy, and that suddenly, quick, before you have time to repent. Now, I want to see if this is Bible. If it's not Bible, you don't have it. If I'm up here telling you something, then you got a right to go out here and find another preacher. And when he tells you something, you can say, well, I compare this with Brother Pike, and I compare Brother Pike with him. And you can measure me by him and him by me. And it's just a whole lot of nothing. If you don't go to the Word, it's all right. Because you can say, well, I like what he says. It sounds better to me. And you can accept that. And it'll be okay with me. I say, that's up to you. But I'm going to tell you something. When you stop comparing one preacher to another and start comparing the preacher to the Word of God, you're going to find the truth. You try to figure out one you'd rather hear the most and like the best, you're just going to run into the mud hole. But when you compare a preacher with the Word of God, said he that God sendeth will preach God's Word or speak God's Word, and when you compare him with the Word of God to see if he's speaking the Word of God, you'll know whether or not he's sent of God. And I'm going to say this. It says here that under the laws of Moses, they died without mercy. Now, you might say, well, that was under the law. All right, now, if that was under the law and it was not meant for us, why did Paul say these things happen for our admonition? Not only that, but why does he here in the New Testament, under the covenant of grace, which is not under the law? I want you to listen to this just 1 minute, will you? Of how much sorrow. How many of you understand what he's saying right there? He's using the word sorrow where we would use more. Check it out and see. Of how much sorrow, punishment. Now, you say, what is he saying, Brother Pike? Read it for yourself. He's saying, how much worse will it be with you? If God done that under the law, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He made it more binding. Did you know that? He said back there, they said if you took a woman off, committed adultery with her, that would be called adultery. But he said, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot stricter than that. He said, you look on one to lust after, and you're already an adulterer, and she is too. She'll answer in the day of judgment. He made it a whole lot stricter than what it was under the law. He brought it down to your spirit and to your thoughts. He said, bring every thought into subjection. Of how much more punishment, a sorer punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, which is trodden underfoot the Word of God. That's the way you trod the Son of Foot under, or Son of God under your foot, is by trotting the Word under your feet, not obeying the Word of God, just walking right on over it, because he was the Word. Of how much more punishment will he be worthy of, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'm going to tell you something. I said this and I still say it. If you can't see that what I've taught you through the years and what I've taught you here, and you can't understand by the teachings that I brought forth this morning that this is the revelation of Christ, that this is the Word of God, that he that God sendeth will speak God's Word, and that there is no mercy to them that reject Christ or won't conform to the Word image. If you can't see that, then there's one thing about it. You're blind, and if it's hid to you, you are lost because it's hid to them that are lost. Let's stand together, if you will. If you come to the sanctuary of God again, and I know you'll do it. Joshua told them people, he said, when you go into Canaan land, you're going to forget God. He said, you've been warned by the law, you've been bit by serpents. He said, everything has been done to warn you and cause you to walk upright before God that could have been done to you. Miracles have been performed before you throughout the world. But he said, as quick as you go into Canaan land, you're going to forget God. He said, you're going to do it. And some of them that are among you, Paul said, after my departure, which are grievous wolves, is going to rise up and say, I'm called to the ministry, and lead many of you astray, some among you. Now, if you come to this sanctuary again with a haughty spirit, with a resentful spirit, with a lust spirit, with a covetous spirit, haughty spirit, them kind of things, after hearing the message of Jesus Christ, and after hearing the thing that I said this morning, you need not call upon the mercy of the Lord. The Bible says, and I want to tell you what Solomon had to say about it, the Bible teaches that because wisdom stood at the gate and cried, and ye would not have any of wisdom. But he said, I stood at your gate and I cried, and ye would none of me. He said, therefore will I laugh at your calamity. When you begin to get upset and have trouble in the home, trouble abroad, trouble with your children, with your companion, trouble with your body, trouble with your finance, he said, I will laugh at you. Somebody said, he'll have mercy on me. Oh, no, he won't have mercy. He said, because you would none of me, I will laugh at your calamity. He said, and I will mock. You say, Brother Pike, you was mocking this morning. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. When you get afraid, and you will get afraid, when a spirit sweeps over you, and you know your baby's fixing to get killed, and there's nothing you can do, and something keeps telling you, something keeps telling you, something keeps telling you, and you're afraid, and you cry to God, God will mock you. You say, Brother Pike, God won't do it. If God don't do it, I'm a liar, and the truth ain't in me. The Bible said he'd mock you. Yes, he will. You mean the God of love would stand and mock me? Yes, he'll mock you. He's a God of love, but he's a God that mocks too. He's a God of judgment too. He's a God of versatility. Sure. Now, I love you. I believe in love. I believe you've got to have love. I tell you in the name of the Lord, the love of God is to keep his commandments. Be loving, be sweet, be kind, be tender, be gentle. But also, we've got to rebuke and exhort with all doctrine, all long-suffering, all authority. And I've suffered long with some of these people, about 6 long years. That's pretty long. But one day, the Bible said the man came around and he looked on the tree. He looked on the tree and he said, this tree ain't got no fruit on it. He said, why doesn't it have fruit on it? He said, well, I don't know. I worked around all these years. He said, cut it down. Cut it down. Get rid of it. We've got to have another tree here. Somebody said, now the preacher will get tired, but God won't get tired. I've said this from the pulpit before. I don't say it again. The keeper of the vineyard said, cut it down. The preacher said, give me another chance. God on the mountain said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to smite those people. God said, Moses said, give him another chance. Samuel got down on his face and cried and said, Lord, please have mercy. He said, get up, Samuel. I'm through with Saul. Well, you see, the mercy of God does run out. I'll not drive with you always. My spirit won't always work with you. Brother Pike, he'll work with you, and you might get upset, and I might, you know, pop the whip a time or two, and then when you repent, I'll come back here and say, sorry, brother, God will help you. But not God. When God pops that whip, I don't care if you ain't but 12 years old. When he pops that whip, he means straighten up and do right. And if you don't, there's plenty of trouble. I'm going to say this in closing. If you are trying to live for God, and I don't mean a lot of this stuff that's going on where somebody gets in tears and says, I've done my best, when they've been warned and told things a dozen times and ain't never tried to perform them. Paul said, if you got a will, have a performance of those things. And you've not even tried to perform the word. I don't mean that. But them that have actually tried to perform the word of the Lord, tried to live right and do right, and they've stumbled in their trying. I tell you today, there's grace for you. There is love for you. There is mercy for you. There is consideration for you. There is understanding for you. God will reach way down to help you. But you remember what I said. When the minister speaks, it's God speaking to you. You better hear what he says. Let them that have ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's God speaking to you. He's telling you what he will do and what he won't do by his word. If it don't fit the word, throw it overboard. But if it fits the word, then be afraid. The minister of God is set there to execute judgment and vengeance upon them that do evil. It's the Bible. He's an avenger of God. That's why everybody's not called to the ministry. They get one-sided. All of this thing is going on and they say, I'm a minister of God. Don't you know that's a big statement when you say, I am anointed and sent by Almighty God to be a minister, to shepherd his people, to guide his people throughout the world and instruct his people under godliness? Somebody jump up and holler, I'm a minister. I've had dozens of them to come before me, and according to what I understand, they're not ministers. They never was called in the ministry. They don't even live right. They don't act right. They don't think right. They don't do right. You tell me that's a minister of God? That's the nature of the Holy Ghost? No, sir. Bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask Brother Frank Barrett, if he will, dismiss us in prayer.